that Torah that we read yesterday, Parshas Shkolin, is from Sefer Melachim Beis and involves a campaign to renovate the Beis HaMikdash during the time of the reign of King Yoash. And it has to do with, of course, the theme of Parshas Shkolin, because what Yehoash HaMelech did as part of the ability to initiate the repairs that were needed for the Bedek HaBayis, as described here, he had to reach out to the Kohanim to collect money from whoever they knew, and eventually what he had set up was a box that people would deposit the money. And this, the Haftorah describes, again in Kapitul Yud Beis, the Sefer Melachim Beis, how the money was used to give to the people who were involved with the tikkunim that had to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. The beginning of the... Now, we all know that there were karbanos that were brought from karbanos Sibra, that were brought from the Machzis HaShekel. And the question is exactly what money are we describing over here? And did they not have money in the treasury already? So it's interesting. The Radak gives us more of a context and background historically of what the situation was. Why was it that the Beis HaMikdash needed these repairs? So if you go back a parak or two in Melachim, you know that the period right before Yoash becoming king was a very difficult one in terms of the Ruchnius of Klal Yisrael. We know the Malchi Yehuda were not always tzaddikim. Malchi Yisrael were never tzaddikim, although some of them had interactions with Nevi'im and even Mechutanim. We know that Achav and Yehoshaphat were Mechutanim. But in any case, within the reign of the Malchi Yehuda, so just before this point that Yehoash became king, we know that there was a woman, Asalia. She was the only queen, and she was, as described in Divrei Yomek, Marshas. That's a harsh word to use, but she was exactly that. She actually killed out her own descendants. Her son, Ahaziah, was killed, and then she killed out all the descendants, so she would be the only one to rule. Quite a cruel thing to do. And there was one descendant, a Malchus Beis Rabbah, that escaped, that survived, and that was the son of Ahaziah, and that's Yoash. He was a baby at the time. And he was hidden in the Kodshei HaKadoshim for 6 years, from age 1 to age 7. And the one responsible for saving his life was his sister, and the one who made sure that he would be protected while in Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim was Yehoyada HaKohen, Yehoyada Kohen Gadol. And that's where the Haftorah begins for Ashkenazim in Kapitul Yud Beis, Ben Sheva Shanim Yehoash B'molcho. So just before this, we have the events surrounding when he was coronated, and Asalia comes in and she's having a tantrum. That's when she was assassinated, killed by orders of Yehoyada Kohen, and that's what allowed his inauguration to take place. So with that context, the Radak points out that the Beis HaMikdash was in great need of being repaired, because Asalia and all that she, what she did was she brought the Baal to be and the Avodah Zaris into the Beis HaMikdash, and she created pirtzos in the Beis HaMikdash. It was all mamish lahachis type of thing, and that's why, for all we know, they were not bringing their karbanos, and that's why they didn't have, you know, the machzor shekel necessarily weren't even brought. It was a very sad state of affairs. This Rashi Milahavi Osa Truma Osan Shanim Shemocha Asalyo, says Radak. During those years that she was queen, they were not even bringing the regular funds to the Beis HaMikdash, because everything that was that they had was going not for the Beis HaMikdash, it was going for the Baalim. And they were not bringing the Karbanos. Only now, with Yehoash becoming king, things began to get back to normal, and that's why there was such a need to do the tikkunim that they did. Just something interesting to have also a tremendous Musar Haskel, because as great as Yehoash was for what he did right now, there's a very interesting language of the Pasuk, which is revealing because of the bigger story. The Pasuk begins describing Yehoash's reign. Tells us that he ruled for 40 years. Vayas Yehoash hayasha b'enei Hashem. He did what was just. Tzukim often tell us which king was good, which king wasn't good. But it adds a caveat. Kol yamav asher horahu Yehoyada HaKohen. All his days that Yehoyada HaKohen was his teacher and his guide. What does that suggest? That, and all the Mefarshim already pointed out, that once Yehoyada died, he soured. This King Yehoash, who was Zachor Latov for what he did here in the Haftorah of Shkolin, something changed afterwards. And the Mefarshim reference what's mentioned later, and it's more in detail with Divrei Hayamim, with the same story of Yehoash and the Tikkunim are done, but then it gives you something that happened at the end of his life. He was assassinated. And here's what happened. I read you from Divrei Hayamim, Beis Chav Dalid. So, Yehoyada Cohen passed away. Now, Vayiskan Yehoyada, Vayis Pasik Tezvav there, Vayis Vayamim, Vayamos, Ben Meo Shuoshim Shandemoso. He was a Zaki in Muflag, 130 years old. Vayikbu Bir David, Im Hamalachim, Yehoyada was buried with the kings, Ki Asa Tova Bi Yisrael, Vimel Kimu Veso. Great tzaddik with a great legacy. The Acharei Mos Yehoyada, after Yehoyada died, the guide for King Yoash, the one responsible that to protect him for the six years when he was hidden away in Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the one who guided him throughout his life, after he died, Bo Sarei Yehuda Vayishtachavu LaMelech Ashama HaMelech Aleihem. So the king thought of himself as something akin to a deity. And not only that, but he reintroduced Avodah Zarah. Vayasu es beis Hashem Elkei Avoseihem Vayavdu es Hashem ves Hatzabim Vayiketzef al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim be'ashmasim zos. Vayishchu behem neviim l'hashivim el Hashem v'yidu bam v'lo hazinu. The people now began to turn to Avodah Zarah with the king's support. Then says the pasuk as follows: V'ruach Elokim Ravsha Zecharya ben Yehoyada haKohen. So this is now the son of Yehoyada during the period of Bayis Rishon, maybe 150 years before the Churban or something like that. Vayamod me'al la'am, vayomer lehem, he gives a musa, kol mahar elokim, lama atem ovim es mitzvah Hashem, b'lo satzlichu, ki azavtem es Hashem, v'yazav eschem. So he gives him harsh musa. What happens? Vayikshru alav, vayugimuhu even b'mitzvahs ha-melech, b'chatzar beis Hashem. Now, we all know this, but we don't realize who it is. We have kinnis about this. This is the famous kina of Rav Yehuda Halevi called Yom Achdi that we say on Tisha B'Av. This is a Gemara later in Gittin about the blood that was boiling all those years from the time it happened until the Churban Beis HaMikdash when the Buzaradan comes in. Why is the blood boiling? What blood was it? The blood of this Navi, the Navi Zechariah. Who is Zechariah? This is Zechariah ben Yehoyada HaKohen, who was killed at the orders of King Yehoash, who owed everything to the father of this Navi Zechariah. So that's in Yehoreg, as Yirmiyahu writes in Eicha. Yehoreg, the Mikdash Hashem, Kohen the Navi. They say it was done, Yom HaKippurim. This is the Pasuk, in Divrei Hayamim, Vayigimuhu even the Mitzvahs HaMelech, Bachatzar Beis Hashem, in Hazara. And here is, I want to end with this, because it's a chilling Pasuk, and if you hear the remez that comes out of this pasuk, it's even more chilling. Listen to the Lashon HaPasuk. Divrei Hayamim Beis Chav Dalet Chav Beis. V'lo zachar Yoash HaMelech HaChesed Asher Asa Yehoyada Aviv Imo V'yaharog Es Bino. Yoash HaMelech did not remember the chesed Asher Asa Yehoyada Aviv. Yehoyada, the father of Zechariah, did Imo V'yaharog Es Bino. And Yoash had Zechariah killed, and here the pasuk continues, and here you understand where the midrashim pick up. Uchemoso Amar, when Zechariah was not dying, he said, "Yera Hashem v'Yidrosh." Yera Hashem v'Yidrosh. That's the Gemara in Perek HaNezakin later in Gittin. That's the context, the backstory in Nach for that story of the blood that continued to boil until and the Buzaradan had to kill tens of thousands of Kohanim and people because to avenge the blood of Zechariah. The lo zacha Yoash HaMelech, a lack of Hakaras HaTov. Now I want to just give you a Baal HaTurim in Parshas Vayeshev. The Baal HaTurim, as you know, is known for gematrias, but also for where you have a Mesorah about certain phrases that appear several times in Tanakh and to find a common denominator or link between the various phrases. So there's a phrase that the pasuk begins, V'lo Zachar. There are three of them. One is the pasuk right here that we just meant, V'lo Zachar Yorosh HaMelech Tova, that the Hoyad had done for him. And there are two others. So Parshas Vayeshev, what is that one? V'lo Zachar, the last pasuk in Vayeshev. V'lo Zachar, Sarah Mashkim, Es Yosef Vayishkachehu. That's the first time in Tanakh. Then you have here in Devayamim, and you have one more, and that's in Eicha. V'lo Zachar Hadom Rago B'yom Apo, that there was Hashem did not remember his Beis Hamikdash in the time of rage. Sak the Balaturim at the end of Vayeshev. Gimu Bamasora Hacha V'lo Zachar Sarah Mashkim Es Yosef. V'idach V'lo Zachar Yoash Hamelech Es Hachesed. And the third, V'lo Zachar Adom Ragov, says the Balaturim, She Sara Mashkim Haya Kafui Tova. What is the root sin here of the Sara Mashkim? That Yosef was enabled him to get out of prison, and he owed him a Koras Atov. He was a Kafui Tova. V'lo Zachar Atova She'asilo Yosef. Who else was a Kafui Tov? V'lo Zachar V'chein Haya Yoash Kafui Tova. V'lo Zachar Atova She'asilo Yohiyada HaKohen V'harag Uzchariya Bino. Ve'al zeh nehergu kama nefashos miYisrael shahaya damo toseis ad shenechrav habayis, and that's the other pasuk in Eicha. So you see the lack of a Koras HaTova, what it brought about, and obviously mida tova meruva. So the more that we can identify with a Koras HaTova, the more that it can also spill over in a good way. Right. So the Haftorah speaks about an earlier tkufa in Yoash HaMelech's life, which is what he did for the Beis HaMikdash, but the rest of the story isn't as pretty, and that's what you have here in terms of the Psukim and the Vayamim and the Remez of the Balaturim.